days of running just fine, decides, hey, 10 minutes before the score report is the perfect time to upload fucking 9 updates from Windows.
Woohoo! Yay, Microsoft.
During which point, nothing else can happen because it uses every fucking iota of resource. So I'm currently on my iPhone.
Wait, yours doesn't. Did you give yours permission in advance?
Yeah. Well, I set it to auto update so it could do it in the middle of the fucking night, not 15 minutes before the fucking show.
It is the middle of the night in England.
Apparently. I came about 10 seconds away from putting a 380 round through it.
Jay, you sound great.
You know why?
I'm in the office, and I'm like, I'm literally 3 feet from the router.
Don't move. I'm starting
to
broadcast.
What I found is the router's been dying.
Wait, how do I sound?
You sound great.
You sound great.
Okay.
And you're black and white. You don't sound in color anymore, Brita.
And I'm starting the broadcast.
Hello, broadcast world.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hi, everybody.
So I guess we're all being ass clowns tonight, huh?
I'm not.
I am.
Good Nick.
Rita's the big girl. We're all the ass clowns.
He's the big girl. We're the ass clowns.
Yep.
Big girl rules tonight, boys.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take some of those.
I don't know what that means, but...
Hey, I'm a pantsless ass clown.
It means it's time for... The Squirrel Report.
May 25th, 2012.
All right.
Oh, we get Brita introducing the Squirrel Report.
Awesome.
I'm so sweaty.
Oh, baby.
It's like, it's May and it's 90 some degrees today. I don't even, my whole body is not used to this yet. I love global warming, though.
Too many simultaneous requests.
It could be snowing.
It could. Could be worse. Could be raining.
It could. Yeah. It was a beautiful day. Anyway. How is everybody tonight? We're all four of us here.
I'm good.
Yeah. You're always good.
Yeah. Good enough.
Yeah. I going to say?
Help I don't know. Out, I wasn't Alan. Paying attention either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Help me out, Alan. We're on the air.
Come on, Alan.
I don't know. I'm jacking with audio settings.
Hey, I don't want to know what you're jacking with. All right.
Have you tried calling into the WTF BBQ PDX?
Yes.
PDNJ?
I did it twice. Works. I did it twice this afternoon. And it worked fine. And you'll notice I put the call-in number at the top of the chat.
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, I want to remind everybody that the chat is up. If you go to – I don't even like – our URL is, like, difficult. I don't even know. SquirrelReport.com/SquirrelReport-chat. Who invented this URL?
Just go to sqrpt.com and click on the chat in the menu list there.
Log in through Facebook so we can all know your real name.
Yeah, well, everybody knows my real name.
Yeah. You know, this week I had a little complaint, guys. Uh-oh. Someone emailed me complaining about last week's show.
Really?
Hmm?
Did you tell them we're happy to refund 100% of their money?
What? Yeah, that was kind of I mean, God love them, you know. Thank you for your concern and stuff. But if you don't like it, don't listen to it.
What was the complaint?
The complaint
I invited
was about
to kiss
our
100% on my ass.
Yeah, our complaint. The complaint was about our usage of adult language.
Oh, you got to be fucking kidding me!
Oh, fuck!
That's
fuck,
fucking
fuck.
Ridiculous! God
what
dang
you
it!
Fuck!
You, Brita, you know what you should have said? You would refund every ounce of their money. Buy a weird. In their butt.
Okay. Well, I just said,
your house,
you know, I
run his genitals all over your furniture.
The cat already does that. Anyway, so
I guess they missed out on
that. I was sorry he didn't enjoy it, but here's the thing, guys. we don't get paid to do this, and it's fun, and it's an adult show. I mean, that everybody knows that going in.
We do have.
And we've all been doing crank all night.
Here. Come on.
We have an explicit tag on iTunes.
It's got an explicit tag on iTunes, and it's adult show.
Yep.
So
it has me on it. Hello.
It has Jay, who really.
I am the masshole.
Yeah.
Though, Jay, as far as I can remember, when you were co-hosting Breeders' Show where we weren't allowed to use cuss words, you managed to go the entire show without saying a naughty word.
Yeah, Alan couldn't.
I did not.
Oh, I couldn't, could I?
I managed to because I was afraid of Frida. I'm the BB and Guns.
Oh, yeah.
I was afraid of Frida. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
That's smart.
I was respectful. I wanted to do it, but it just didn't happen because I was talking. Yeah. That's the language I speak.
I have small children, so I am used to censoring myself quite a bit.
Yeah, I've heard that helps.
Because when you have a small person that rats you out because they're sitting in the back seat of the car going, "Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it," and yeah, you get ratted out. Where did you hear that? He, daddy. Ah, thanks, pal.
See, I'm gonna be totally fucked because I can't say that he must have learned shitting dick nipples from somebody else.
I have to say that you all have been very educational for me. You know, words like twat waffle. I even now know how to say that in sign language.
Awesome!
Ooh.
Thank you.
Hooray!
Hooray. So anyway, no, I told him, you know, I'm sorry you don't like the show and maybe you can find another show that you'd like better. I'm not going to ask my co-host to change your language just because one person likes it. Doesn't like
Gee
it.
Gee golly whiz. I sure am sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was kind of the news for this week regarding the Squirrel Report.
Guys, got the fucking soup is $10.
However, we will not be showing any Jar Squatter videos on this show.
Yeah, that's only because it's an audio only show.
Well, we're not even putting up the link.
If it was video, I bet you it'd show up sooner or later.
Duh. Hello.
No. We'd Rickroll the people.
here's the video for yeah. Well,
here's a squirrel video.
Oh yeah.
What's hilarious is actually the other day I found on efuck.com the Jar Squatter guy posed a picture that said hi efuck.com.
Wait, like he survived his trauma?
He didn't bleed out.
Dig it up.
Wow.
No, I don't want to see that. No.
Oh, it's not horrible.
I'm glad he survived his
cool
terrible incident. Oh god. So anything else during the week that kind of is noteworthy, guys? Weird, what about you?
I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to work tomorrow. Everybody's like going on and long weekend. I'm like, yeah, I have to work at the freaking library.
Don't.
Like by myself tomorrow on a Saturday. Cool. On a beautiful weekend, because God forbid people not have their DVDs.
Well, look at it in a positive light, Brita.
There's air conditioning.
At least for a little bit of that time, there won't be anybody else there.
That's true. That is true. Just me and the books.
Yep.
And the hobos masturbating.
No, not even them.
No. The first hour, we're open 10 to 3 tomorrow, but I have to be there at 9.
So you get a whole hobo-free hour.
It's all by myself. Me and the books.
So I started physical therapy this week. Yay.
How is your shoulder, Jay?
It still hurts.
So are you like an old guy now with arthritis?
Yep, pretty much. Well, yeah? They're not sure if it's arthritis or if it's a torn rotator cuff.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I don't like the sound of torn anything.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
Are they going to do any, like, MRIs or anything like that to see if there's any tearage?
They're going to see. They already did they took x-rays, so, you know, it was just like flying.
Is it your right shoulder or your left shoulder?
It's my left shoulder, fortunately.
Hmm. Well, then, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what?
Me too, Alan.
Oh, Lord.
You bastard.
Anyway, I think they should amputate Jay. You don't need that arm anyway.
I don't need that arm anyway.
No.
You know?
No, that's the mouse click arm. One-handed.
That's the no, it's not.
Yeah, it
the
is.
Hell are you talking about?
Okay. Anyway, so this week,
Helen's
moving on.
Yes, Helen, moving Mandy on. Textures.
It feels like someone else.
We do have topics this week.
Ass clowns. Oh, crap.
Well, ass clowns, and we have a you know, every week we try to have like a topic where people to inspire people to call in.
Because it is a call-in show.
Because it is a call-in show.
And we like it when people call
in. And Alan didn't break the call-in feature this week.
Yeah, so that's it right. Should work.
By the way, how was your trip to Houston to fix it? Did you have any cool Mad Max moments?
Well, that's Detroit.
I drove the wrong way out of the parking garage.
Woo!
Oh, did you get severe tire damage?
No, but I didn't get to have to knock my antenna on the low beam going out the out. Side either. Uh-oh.
What?
Oh.
I don't like
Yeah, Jay's moving around. Stop moving around, Jay. Go back over by the Wi-Fi.
I'm getting further, sorry.
Jay, you need to sit still and be a good boy.
Yes.
Well, stand under the water, Jay.
What we need to do is we need to punch a hole through a set of pornographic playing cards and tape it to his laptop.
You kidding? I need to get my Ritalin block out again. Like my Ritalin lick. Hold on. I'll just be in the corner with my Ritalin lick.
That would probably work.
It tastes like wall candy.
Yeah. You can spray it on
Ritalin dots.
You can spray it on the wallpaper and you can sit there and lick the walls.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. Oh, good Lord.
You know, we did. Oh, back to the topic.
Yes, guys. Topics.
It was funny this week because things were going on. We kind of lost track of the week. And yesterday I figured, hey, I better put something up on the blog about the upcoming show tomorrow. And I get an email from Weird suggesting the same blog post for blog of the week that I thought I would bring up. It's kind of like blog post of the week, topic of the week. It's kind of combined this week. And then I said to Weird, I said, yeah, I already put that up on the blog. And Weird, how many shows have you done with us now?
Not all of them.
We have a blog?
I missed out a bunch of them.
Yeah,
I'm aware of the blog. I just didn't check in on it because I'm usually
That's
used
so
to.
So cute.
I'm usually used to just getting an email. Well, inside baseball. Just so you know, all of you listening at home, we are a dark and secretive cabal who are constantly plotting behind the scenes.
That's us.
All four of us.
That's
us.
We are always scheming. We are always watching. And you know what? We see you when you masturbate. Just so you know.
Oh. I don't.
Brita doesn't like it. Brita doesn't approve that, you know, so you guys need to do a better job to impress Brita. Jay and I like it just fine. Alan sighs.
Okay. What's wrong with Alan's sighs, Weird? And why do you know this?
Okay. Moving on. Anyway, so our topics this week, as I mentioned in the blog.
You know why we have topics?
What?
So we don't go off the reservation?
We have topics.
I'm trying really hard here.
We have topics so we can go off topic.
You can't go off topic if you don't have a topic.
That's right. If we didn't have topics, we would be quite topical, and that would fucking suck.
What's snorted?
Oh, we love you, Brita. We promise.
We love you a long time. Oh, wait.
Okay, so this week's, I thought I did a really good job this week for the topic blog post, douchebags and dreams. Last week we were, not dreams of douchebags, because that's a whole different thing, but last week we were going to talk about gun dreams. That was going to be like the call-in thread for the whole show, except we didn't have call-in last week, so we decided to postpone it for this week. But every gun owner always talks about guns showing up in your dreams. And how usually gun owners will say that their guns don't work in their dreams. Either the ammo doesn't work, the ammo's the wrong size, something crazy happens, the gun falls apart, you know, just all sorts of things. So the call and thread this week is, what crazy gun dreams have you had?
Guys? Do y'all get to tell our own first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd love to hear it.
Jay first.
Me
Jay.
First.
Yeah. Go. Do you want me to go I first?
I'll go first.
No, go. Right, Jay. All
right. Doesn't matter to me.
Jay.
Mine isn't that they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is, and you're all going to get a big kick out of this. I always want the one at the bottom of the safe.
What?
The most recent dream I had, gun-related dream I had, there was a zombie outbreak in my town.
Of course. That's a whole nother topic, the zombie thing. Go ahead.
For whatever reason, the only gun that would work on them was my high power. Why it makes any difference what's throwing lead at them, I don't know. It was
because John Browning.
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, you think a 1911 would have worked. But it was the Browning high power. So I'm tearing. There's zombies coming in through the windows, and I'm tearing through the gun safe. I'm doing my Tetris and trying to find it. And
I've witnessed this Tetris. It is actually quite a production when Jay tries to get a certain gun out of the gun safe.
Yeah. So
gun safe Tetris.
Anyway, that was, rather than the gun not working, it was I couldn't get to it because it was buried under a whole bunch of other perfectly useful guns. But
interesting.
Yeah. So
very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, interesting. You know.
Tell us about your mother.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
And sometimes it goes up your butt.
We have a call.
Oh.
Calls.
Excellent.
Area code 901, can you hear us?
I sure can. What's happening, guys? It's Truthsayer.
Oh, Truthsayer.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. You know,
good.
Let's be honest, a lot of times Jung was full of crap, too.
Yes.
It wasn't just Freud when he got busted smoking something somewhat valid. Yeah, I've had those same kind of flash scenarios that Jay had. You know, if I really needed to get to what the best tool was for the job, could I reliably do it? And sadly, the answer most of the time was no. That's a really sobering thought, even if when you bring it back into the real world. You know, you can have all kinds of great things, whether it's medical stuff, you know, actual firearms, whatever. So it's neat that he brought that up, because I had that flash in my home, thinking, I mean, if somebody broke in right now, aside from my carry gun, what would I really have, you know, that available? And the answer was nothing, which sucks.
My problem is I have too much.
Jay has decision.
Yeah, but Jay, all of yours are locked up.
Of course they are. That it would be breaking the law if they were not.
Right.
And I would never break the law.
Right.
Oh, is that a Massachusetts law?
Yes.
Yes. Say we have safe storage in Massachusetts.
Though technically, by complying with it, Jay, you are breaking federal law.
Because I'm not obeying the Second Amendment.
Well, no. As I've said, it just never come down to it, and there's even Massachusetts law that appears to have direct precedence that says that as soon as Heller was applied to the states, Massachusetts safe storage laws would be rendered illegal. But no one's challenged it since then. There was one case that happened right after Heller, but before McDonald. And so it never went through with it, but whatever.
You know, Truthsayer, you have not. I'm sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say you can have one on your person, or several, or a dozen,
as long as they're in your direct control.
Exactly. You know, now personally, this is my house. It is the locked box, and they're all under my direct control. So,
yeah, somehow I think they wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think at this point, a lot of them would have that would be good enough because they don't want to take it to court and have the law officially thrown out.
Yeah.
They want to still be able to tell people to lock them up so people will lock them up until they'll die and they can use them as gun deaths.
We have the safe storage law on the books, so we continue to get our high Brady grade. But the cold, harsh reality is that they don't want to push it too far, especially in the wake of Heller, because, you know, hi, guys, it's already been declared unconstitutional. So do we really want to make this an issue? Probably not. Plus, like I said, you know, the biggest reason I haven't been TGIC'd is because, you know, they get the printout of the guns that I own from the Criminal History Systems Board and go, holy shit, we'd need a bigger van.
Well, that and they, you know, they don't like to attack people that can actually shoot back. You know,
I really think it's just the paperwork.
They'll circle your, you know, they'll pull up and circle your block and, you know, lob a firebomb at your house and burn you out.
Either you've been watching Wolverine or what's the movie? Red Dawn?
No.
You know, where the Russians take over and the first thing they do is go for the bound books of 4473s.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Oh, yes. Go get the yellow sheets.
Because registration's illegal.
Yeah. Registration never leads to confiscation, except everywhere that it has.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I spent the early part of the evening brushing my Wookiee suit, so.
Well, I'm on my way to Tunica for work, and I'm probably going to drop the call. So thanks for having me on, and just
thanks
for y'all.
Thanks for calling in.
Oh.
Yay!
All right.
Praise the song of our people.
That's cool.
Oh, dear. Oh, weird.
That's it. It should be the Wookiee Report.
No.
Do you have a musical accompaniment this evening, Weird?
I do, but it's out of reach, and I don't know.
we haven't had the cock flute on.
No. I've got one better right here on my desk.
I'm frightened. You have the capacity for rational thought, Ray.
Do it again, Weird.
It's a fart whistle. Of course it is.
I thought you were doing a Polish hanky.
Weird, did you have
damn
a...
It, that's two giggle snorts out of the...
I am totally cutting in here and bringing you back on topic. Weird, did you have a gun dream to share?
I'm not going to go... I mean, I've had a ton of them.
Pick one.
I actually kind of want to talk more about the mechanics because I'm kind of one of those like dream interpretation guys. When someone says, "Oh, I had a dream last night," I'm the one that'll sit down and say, "All right, tell me about it." All right, I don't care about that little bit of information. You can skip that. That's important. What does that mean? And discuss on what that means, because of course our dreams are all part of our inner psyche.
It's a window into the soul.
Exactly. I mean, it's what we're thinking about, and it's a world entirely dreamed up by us, and that's a big part of it. It's like, ever since I started regularly carrying a gun, I've never had a dream where I wasn't carrying, or the dream had a context where I wouldn't be carrying. Like I'm in my pajamas, so I don't have my gun directly on me, but my gun does exist, or I'm in a different state that doesn't allow me to carry. But otherwise, it's just like I'm always wearing shoes when I'm outside in my dreams. I'm always wearing a gun. Just one of those things. Though, of course, a lot of times it just stays right there in my pocket or in my holster.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's,
you know, but you it's know it's there.
But it's always there.
Interesting. But
one thing I have found was that gun dreams seem to portray our anxieties, concerns, or interests, just like Jay with the, will I be able to get to the right gun that I need in time, especially since he has to play gun Tetris. That's
because I need the Browning high power. You know, never mind that the SIG 226 is also in 9mm and closer and loaded.
Yes, but there's magic.
Exactly. It's the combination of the spirit of John Moses Browning and which apparently has anti-zombie venom.
Of course.
Well, it would.
But
he designed that in.
One thing,
zombie with a Glock, they turn into a super zombie. You know that, right?
Sure. That's the German engineering or Austrian engineering.
Yeah. The zombies originated in Austria.
Yeah.
Glock. All right.
Oh, we'll get to Glocks in the next hour.
I have weird dreams where I'm not confident in my equipment. I'll have. I remember actually I had
a lot of men have that trouble with it.
Yeah,
you're not alone.
Like I've had.
Don't feel bad. Wow. It happens to every guy.
It really happens to every guy. Oh God.
No, it doesn't.
I have.
Okay.
Not every guy. All right, hold on.
Hey, sometimes I just want to pee. Sometimes I just want to pee. I've had a dream where I've opened up a box where a gun was supposed to be in, and it was completely detail stripped, and I'm sitting there running over in my head, how the fuck does this thing go back together?
Oh jeez,
and all that. Just recently, I had a really really weird dream where I fed a magazine into my FAL, and the bolt release on that gun is a lever that you pull down, and when I pulled it down, it just kept sliding down. It slid all the way out of the gun. And I went, that's not good.
I've had a few of those. Oops. You release the slide and it falls right off the frame.
Yep. And the big
I need that. That's important.
And the big one is, as many guns as I've shot and as many things as I've shot and as many things that I've read and as much as I know about biology, I have never once put a bullet into a person. And so almost always in my dreams, when I have to put a bullet into somebody that's attacking me, I have no frame of reference. And so things always go bizarre.
I have that problem.
Me too.
I've had a dream where I put a gun right against someone's forehead and pulled the trigger. They had their hand around my throat. I jabbed my gun right between the eyes and pulled the trigger, and nothing happened because
it's a 1911. You pushed it against their head and the sear wouldn't trip. Duh.
Going out of batteries.
Jeez.
I have the same problem where in my dreams, I never really have gun problems in my dreams. My gun is always there and I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, if I need to use it, it's there. But in my dreams, I guess probably because I don't have any frame of reference like you do, it's like I will shoot. And I feel confident about my shooting, and I'm like, okay, I'm shooting, and the bad guy's over there. But there's no resolution. There's no, like, did I get him or did I not? Did I, you know, it's kind of like I just wake up at that point, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I never have an ending to that, so.
I think weird hit the nail on the head is we have no frame of reference. We've never seen it. I mean,
yeah.
I think we know enough that we know Hollywood is full of bullshit. So that, you know, the guy flying backwards through the glass, we know that's not going to happen. And they don't go down in a nice antiseptic heap like they do in the movies. But
what
really happens, none of us have any idea.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that.
And on top of that,
I mean, the same reason why I always seem to have broken guns or guns that do weird things or strange, odd events that happen with that is because I'm a gun geek. I'm always reading about, you know, failures and simplification of your tools and you know, you've got to test the gun with your carry ammo and you've got to, you know, run high round counts, which, which we could tie into our other topic.
Yep,
but, you know, talking about running, you know, 10,000 rounds through the gun without cleaning it and it needs to not malfunction. But let's face it, you know, with the way most gunfights play out, statistically speaking, I could fend off an attacker with my goddamn Jennings and not have any worry about it.
Probably.
Because you don't need to exhaust every single goddamn round that you have on your person.
Unless you're a cop, then it's a rule.
And with cops, it's the big difference of a person alone shoots differently than a person with a bunch of other people together. When cops are a group together, somebody starts shooting, they start shooting together, and everyone just keeps shooting until their guns run dry, and then they start thinking about things. But even then, they don't really exhaust their magazines.
Yep. And we have a caller.
Yay!
And this is from area code 307. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Christopher out in Wyoming.
Hey, Christopher.
Hey. I've had that dream before. I've also experimented with lucid dreaming. And I'm a Warcraft player. The last time it happened, I just summoned a bunch of zombies and sicked them on the target, and my subconscious, in a fit of pique, forced me to wake up.
Nice.
So it doesn't do that anymore.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can like summon zombies and like control them and sick them on people.
Yep.
Is a power I would like to have.
Anyway, yeah, I have had to. I have had to shoot somebody before, and they just drop like a sack of spuds. So, but I don't have dreams like that anymore. Like I said, my subconscious got disgusted with me not playing along.
Nice.
Yeah,
oh, well. Have fun.
Oh, well, thanks for calling,
Thanks for calling in. That's interesting.
Good one.
Lucid dreaming is really weird. I get that a lot where, you know, you kind of are conscious of what you're doing, and you're thinking, oh, hey, this is a cool dream. What if I do this? You know, I've never had a lucid dream with guns before. I don't know how that would work. I don't know, but that's interesting.
Very.
Yeah.
So what is your dream? You started talking about it a little bit.
Mine?
Yes.
Oh, actually, I don't have it. This is okay. I carry knives more than I carry a gun because of where I work. Because
you're just badass that way.
No, it's because of where I work. Because carrying a gun where I work is a felony, and I don't want to risk it. So probably carrying those knives I carry is a felony too. But okay.
Those are tools.
Anyway. They're tools. I have opened boxes with
That's
them.
Right.
I really
so
have.
Is a gun.
They are just box cutters. That's all they are.
They are. Okay. Yes. So,
I don't think you could ever commit a crime with a box cutter.
That's right.
In my dreams, I do have – usually I have knives more often than I have guns. But the last gun dream I remember is that I was carrying my Bursa and I was in a parking garage – for some reason. And it was like one of those instances where, you know, a guy came out of nowhere and no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was probably in downtown Cleveland or something, you know, but, a guy, it was nighttime. I was in a parking garage. A guy was kind of like stalking me, came out of nowhere. And like I said, I pulled out my gun, no problem. Shoot. No problem. Except I woke up before I could know if I got him or not. And it was kind of frustrating. I woke up. I'm like, what the hell? You know?
Yeah.
No resolution. Did I get him? Did I not get him?
You at least want to see him bleed out.
Something. Come on.
Yeah, but again, remember that even if you can think of the idea of, oh, yeah, I would shoot him, he would fall down, and then he would bleed out.
Right.
But your brain needs to cook that up enough that you can actually believe that it's happening.
Yeah, maybe.
Otherwise, dreams just do not work.
Well, right, I think, too, that's the part you don't want to think about.
As far as my equipment goes, I had no performance issues. So
awesome.
You know.
I had no problems with my equipment. It was just getting to it. I have so much that.
Oh, God.
This is totally Freudian. Anyway, if anybody else has a gun dream they'd like to share, our number is 214-530-0036.
Yep.
And it's at the top of the chat. So if you're in chat, look directly under the word chat and see the number and call in.
Yeah, call in. Alan, do you have any gun dreams?
I I kind of have two that I kind of circle back to every now and then. The first one is I pull my gun to shoot somebody and I unload, you know, several rounds center of mass and nothing happens.
Yeah.
The bullets have no effect.
Well, it's like, you know, before I got into the gun thing, you know, it would be like you'd be in a fight and you'd be punching someone as hard as you can. And it'd just be like, you know, you were hitting them with a pillow.
Yeah.
It transfers. It's, you know, even though you're firing the gun and, you know, the bullets, sometimes you can see them bounce off. That's one of my personal favorites. Like, tink, tink, like I'm shooting Superman here. Oh, great. Yeah. I picked a fight with Superman. Yay.
Well, also another interesting biological mechanic is that the brain secretes a chemical that actually paralyzes you while you're sleeping, because otherwise you'd beat yourself to death while you're dreaming, because you'd try to thrash around and, you know, you'd try to move and you would move while you were laying down.
Right. Well, and, you know what? That doesn't always work for all people.
Yeah.
I've often told Mike that he, like, you know, when he's dreaming, you know, when you see a cat or a dog and they kind of run in their sleep.
Yeah.
Their little legs going, it's like Mike. He runs in his sleep.
But with that chemical, it produces a large amount of essentially lethargy where your muscles and limbs become very, very, very stiff. And so therefore trying to do things that require a whole lot of force, like running and throwing punches and things like that, those often very, very badly in the dream when you try to run away from something and I usually either just can't, I'm just frozen, or I feel like I'm running underwater, or I get 15 or 20 feet away and then I'm just done. I'm spent. I've got nothing left.
So basically the brain chemicals that are literally making your muscles, you know, be paralyzed are kind of transmitting to your dream as well.
Well, you're so intensely in that dream. I mean, it almost always happens when you're afraid of something. So that fear and all that, you're starting to wake up. I mean, it's just like, you know, if your significant others had a nightmare while you're sleeping. I mean, they start, you know, doing things that are not quite fully asleep. I mean, you could have a huge, massive dream that's just pleasant, and you'll just be laying there snoring like any other time. Or you could be having a dream that you're being attacked by savage monkey people, and you'll be screaming and yelling and kicking and thrashing and, you know, doing those sort of things because...
Right.
Just the adrenaline. I'm sure it has to do with the adrenaline and just all the, you know, the emotional fight or flight responses. But so with that, I would imagine that your body is starting to wake up, but it's still not going to work. And so you start becoming aware of what's going on.
Hmm.
Same idea with where you start having dreams where, you know, if someone's trying to wake you up and you start hearing their voice talking to you, or your alarm goes off and you start hearing the alarm.
Yes.
What about the one where I'm flying and pedaling an invisible bicycle?
What?
That's probably a gay thing.
Wow.
Ouch.
Wow. Point here.
Invisible bicycle.
What?
That's invisible bicycle is pretty awesome, Helen.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a Queen song?
No.
I've had a similar idea is where I can swim through air. Those are always kick-ass dreams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, flying dreams.
Yeah. The other big gun dream I have is I have a gun. Usually it's a rifle, and I have to fend off a horde of, you know, whatever. And I have crates, stacks of ammo, except it's all the wrong size.
Oh!
And I know I have some somewhere. I just have to find it. So it's like...
Oh, so it's a variation on mine.
Yeah, it's scramble, scramble, scramble. Find it, you know, it's search everywhere for the ammo. You know it's there and can't find it.
Huh. And there's another interesting biological mechanic.
Made a carcano somewhere.
With the part of the brain that produces dreams, as a general rule, is not the part of the brain that has... any of the language centers. So you can't read or write in a dream. huh. very frequently. There are some people who can. Everyone's brain's a little bit different.
Interesting. But
most people cannot read or write in dreams. And so therefore, if you're hunting around for the cartridge box that says 45 ACP versus 9mm, you know, Luger or, you know, 9x18, sometimes you'll be able to read it. Sometimes you won't be able to read it, but it won't be important. Your body will say, oh yeah, this is the right one.
No, and I get those a lot. The whole trying to read in my dreams and like, yep. I'm reading it and it makes sense, yeah. except it doesn't. And I'm like, what am I reading? Yeah. I've never even considered that, but yes, reading in I've never tried to write in a dream, but reading is difficult.
Who's running
especially
a
given your
cleaner.
Line of work, you know,
we're not allowed to read at work.
But you've got to have some stuff of like, can you help look this book up for me in the card catalogs?
Sorry, I'm not allowed to read.
I actually do not have library dreams. Thank you, God.
Wow.
I don't.
They know only really, bad things could come from that.
Yeah, I'm glad of that, actually. No. It's kind of like I go to work, I put my time in, I come home, and it's out of my mind. So that's good. But everybody, we've got 14 people in the chat right now, and no one has called in.
I know, it's disgusting.
Make Miguel. Miguel, you have to call in.
Miguel is here every week, and he never calls in. Breaking my
lisps.
Heart.
He lisps. That's what it is.
No.
Look, if it gets him to call to dispel the rumor, why not? He's got a hair lip and he lisps.
Just like,
no.
Oh boy.
You're gonna make up an accent.
It's a call-in show. Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe I don't shoot enough or I'm not gunny enough to have enough.
You're not enough of a warrior.
Although it might also be that I don't sleep enough.
Yeah, you have to sleep actually long enough to enter REM state before you have a dream, Brita. And in between the cats and everything else in your house, you never get there.
I always thought it was REM. I kept waiting for the songs.
Considering cats wake me up every time, I don't really get a lot of dreams.
Yeah, another thing could be is the how deeply you're sleeping is one of those. Back when I used to work on the boats, it was everyone always talked about offshore dreams. Everyone had
because you had diesel fumes in most
all
of the
time.
Cabin.
Well, I think it more
that wasn't a dream. That was the guy in the bunk underneath you.
Yeah, there really was duct tape weird.
But just getting rattled around in the bunk from the waves and all the noises and all of that, you just don't sleep as deeply as you do in a nice, quiet, dark room.
All those dolphins screaming as they get ground under your propeller.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look, it's Meatloaf of the Sea.
Hey, Jay. Yes, what do you get when you run an Atlantic white-sided dolphin through a meat grinder?
Who I get? Tuna fish.
An erection.
Oh, God. And we have another caller.
Oh, yay!
Which is, I don't know where they're from because it says it's
Kevin Baker. Kevin Baker calling
Kevin
in on
Kevin Baker.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Baker.
Hello, Mr. Restricted.
The heavy hitter of the blogosphere.
No, he's calling on Skype. Or hello, caller.
What's up?
Hear what the big brain has for gun dreams.
I only have ever had one, and it wasn't. I don't know that it was as much a gun dream as just a nightmare from that involved guns. I don't know if you guys ever watched Torchwood.
Oh yeah, big fan.
Okay, you're a big fan of Torchwood. Did you see the next to last one that they did the series about? Where the aliens came for the children?
Yes.
Oh, that was terrible. That was, yeah.
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
No, just the premise. Was,
no, the show was good. The premise was horrible.
I watched that at a marathon. Basically, I watched. Was it four shows? Right?
Yeah.
Four or five. I think I watched them over like 2 days over a long weekend. And the night after watching the last one, I had a nightmare where the soldiers were coming for my grandkids, and I ran out of ammo.
Ooh.
That's your subconscious telling you to buy more.
That woke me up in the middle of the night. I mean, that was bad.
Yeah, that was
sent you right to ammo2go.com.
That was that was the Children of Earth miniseries they did.
I was just going to say. Yeah,
that was awful. The ending of that was terrible.
Yes, and you also liked Avatar. So were they blue aliens?
No.
But anyway, that's my one and only gundering.
Running out of ammo.
Running out of ammo.
You'd think that would be more common.
I don't think I've ever had a dream where I ran out of ammo. I had, you know, like I said, I've had dreams where I couldn't find it or it didn't
get
work.
The wrong ammo.
But I've never had one where
again,
I ran out.
It all depends on your on your subconscious.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things of the, you know, for me, if my personal feeling, you know, whatever you want to say, but my personal belief is that if I go through all 25 rounds of 45 ACP that I have on my person on a day-to-day basis, I'm in a lot more trouble than I can get myself out of. So I'm pretty much fucked. And so therefore, I'm really not worried about, oh, do I have enough ammo on me? Though when I was just carrying around just a five-shot J-frame and I didn't have room for a reload in my pocket, That was a concern. So I don't recollect specifically a dream where I was just carrying my J frame and I ran out of ammo, but I can see that happening.
Yeah.
But it's all about your concerns. It's one of those I always have a concern about the how durable is this going to be? Is this gun going to fail on me? What's the failure rate on this? How reliable is this unit? How reliable is the design? And it's really, to some extent, emotional masturbation, but it's a concern that I have, and that shit shows up in dreams.
Hey, why can't I get to my Browning high power when the zombies are at the door? Or maybe that's just me being very specific.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's Jay. You do frequently say that one of you're joking about it, but I wonder if there's not a very large grain of truth is. When the shit hits the fan, you're always constantly debating, all right, what am I going to go for?
Like, do I go for the Mossberg or, you know, like there was one of my dead golf accounts was a guy banging on a woman's bed. The woman in Oklahoma was banging on her back door for like 15 minutes before he finally broke in. And I'm like, that would kill me. That would kill me because I'd be up in the rifle safe going, shit, which one? I'd probably just grab one of the most into gods because I'm like, oh, if I lose this in the heavens, I'll just buy another one for $100. And plus two, you know, there's a certain advantage to being able to, you know, impale them on the bayonet and still shoot them and, you know, still be 8 feet away.
still be in the next county over.
And still be able to hold them out of arm's length.
And still having them be in the neighbor's property.
They're still actually next door.
Yeah,
they haven't gotten out of their car in the driveway yet. And I
is that
bayonet.
Is that the rifle that's as tall as I am?
It's taller with
taller.
The bayonet. It's taller.
It is
greater than one Brita tall. But it's okay. It's also taller than one Lissa.
I have a Mosin carbine that with the bayonet is actually maybe shorter than Brita.
The M4.
Yeah, well, it's the M64, I think it is or 63. It's the Chinese carbine.
Yes, it is.
He's got the 8-inch barrel version that Ray uses.
but I mean, I think you digging for the high power in there is that you've got severe gun ADD and you don't have a set mean of attack and you've got a whole bunch of guns that are like I've got a gazillion like I would never have a dream where I was pulling a I might have a dream where if I was out shooting a Mosin Nagant a lot where I would just happen to have a Mosin Nagant in my hand when something went down, but I would never have a dream of going into my vault or walking around carrying thinking that some trouble was up, carrying a Mosin Nagant, because I don't consider them, while they might be effective weapons, I don't consider them weapons. They're collector's items.
Yeah.
And
there's much better choices than five shots, even if it is 7.62 by 54.
Exactly. I've got a hierarchy right out in my head, and so your dream would never come into my mind. I've got this gun. If this gun's not available, I'll grab this gun. If this gun's not available, I'll grab this gun. And if that gun's not available, really, what the fuck is going on?
I think this is the perfect segue into our next topic.
I think so.
That's right. Why 1911 suck and some people have to be douchebags.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh.
So does anyone give the backstory to this story?
Well, Brita, it's your blog post.
Actually, my blog post was...
Kevin's still on here.
Hi, Kevin.
Ask him.
I am.
Yeah, I
haven't read every word written by everybody, but Rob Pincus basically thinks the 1911 sucks and the officer size suck hardest, and no one should ever carry one, and no one should ever take one to one of his classes. And
they don't ever work.
If you take one of his classes with an officer size 45 and don't have a failure, then you don't have to pay him.
And no one should ever open.
I'm relatively sure I don't want to take a class from a douche, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's the
Having
only.
Having said that, I happen to have an officer size 45, and
nice.
It's very picky about
those.
What it'll eat.
I love those.
Kevin? I'm sorry.
It's very picky about what it will eat.
Really? See, I've got my Colt. I've got a Colt 1991 A1 compact, which is its standard officer size. I got it about 2 years ago. I put, 800 rounds through it with literally not a single hiccup, nothing.
Yeah, I had an officer's model for a while too and never had a problem with it.
Now, granted, he was very specifically talking about three. Oh, a Kimber. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that explains it.
I have a Kimber Ultra CDP2.
Oh, well.
Now, is that a 3-inch barrel?
Yeah.
Because they were going back and looking at it, they were very specific about the 3-inch barrel. Weird. You know what else falls in that category? The Parrel Warthog. We know about 5 people here in Mass that bought the Warthog because Parrel is one of the few manufacturers that's Mass compliant. And they had the Warthog, which was, oh my God, it's a micro 1911 that's Mass legal. Jump on it. And then they realized that, wretched pulsating ball of suck and fail didn't even come close to what the Warthog was.
Okay.
And, yeah. So.
So anyway, on our topic.
Another part of the topic.
By the way, thanks for calling in, Kevin.
Thing was that the open carry thing, right? The whole issue was this. Was this video that James Yeager and Rob Pincus put out?
Because those two are...
They didn't believe that open carry was a good thing, and especially not as a political statement, and not in urban areas, and not if you haven't taken their class.
Oh, of course. Duh. And that's what it boils down to.
And two guys in arm tats and weird hair standing in front of a Digicam truck are complaining that people that want to open carry just want to call attention to themselves.
They just want attention, yeah.
And now, just for clarity's sake, was this James Yeager or was this Buck Angel? I can never tell the difference.
Who's Buck Angel? Oh, no. Okay, I would like to comment on James Yeager's choice of facial hair. I think he might be compensating for something.
For the fact that he might have a vagina?
Maybe.
Wow.
Not anything wrong in that, because it does make a very, very lucrative career in transgendered pornography.
We're going to get in so much trouble. Okay.
Just like to state for the record, that was Weird Beard who said that.
Hey, I've watched the movies.
We'll be fine.
I've seen it. I know it's true. That ain't a mo' Photoshop.
Oh.
Anyway.
Caller?
Yeah, we got a
caller.
Thank you, Kevin.
Area code 817. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Daniels from Among the
Leaves. Daniels! I know him. He's famous on the internet.
That's right.
Hey.
Well, not as famous anymore, but, you know, hey.
Not quite. It's more infamy, but that's okay. It's good, too.
Hey, we'll take what we can get, you know?
Exactly. We're not picky.
So what's up?
What's your gun dream, Daniels?
What's my what?
Are you calling about a gun dream, or are you calling about douchebags on the internet?
He has to call about a gun dream.
On the internet. Oh, I'm
yeah, but give us a gun dream first.
Chat right now, kicking douchebags on the internet. I had a kick one just for fun.
Was it the dream where all of your guns turned pink?
Yeah.
Stop. We know.
I've been reading Aaron Palat's blog too much. I see all the little brony guns and nightmares. I'm telling you. No, but right. I haven't been able to listen to the show tonight. I don't have streaming going on right now. Have y'all talked about the dream where you shoot and you shoot and you shoot and nothing happens?
Yep.
Yes.
Like, gun goes off and, yeah, there's just no response.
That seems to be pretty common.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because you have no frame of reference for that, or because of something else? What is your idea?
Well, actually, I don't know how many people actually know this on me. I've seen the elephant. I've been in a gunfight before, fired in anger, and actually shot a person. It was with a shotgun, and that was, you know, a little bit different than a handgun. But in the dreams, every once in a while, I had a handgun instead.
Okay.
And
was it a judge?
A handgun. It's almost like I'm shooting a BB gun or an airsoft gun, and I know the bullet's just going to bounce off of them. Maybe it's just a dream I have. I don't know.
Oh, sounds like
I don't know if that's something y'all have talked about yet.
Sounds like
not,
the Imperial shuttle's landed somewhere.
I think, okay. My eardrums just exploded, but
sorry.
I think it has something to do with what Weird was talking about earlier. I know that you're not on the streaming thing, but Weird was saying that there is a chemical in your brain that makes your muscles not move while you're sleeping. And
right.
I think that while you're dreaming, that kind of chemical thing gets mixed up and your brain says, oh, I can't move and my motions are ineffectual. And it kind of, I think that gets translated into the force that is needed with a gun or knife or in a fight.
That might be, because I kind of know the dreams you're talking about. And I think it's one of those ones, like Weird said, that everyone's kind of had where you're trying to run and your feet are molasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that probably does have something to do with that paralytic chemical that your brain does while you're asleep. But man, I don't know that these dreams I'm talking about, it's more like you shoot, and you know that for whatever reason, what you're shooting, you know, you may be holding a 55, but for whatever reason, a 25 ACP is coming out and just bouncing off the bad guy's chest. it's a little bit different.
That's what I was saying. I always pick Superman to get in a gunfight with.
Oh.
Yes, exactly.
Huh.
But Daniels, I got a question for you. Do you shoot BB guns and airsoft guns fairly regularly?
No, not really, actually. I mean, I own a BB gun, but I just, you know, have it so I can practice in the backyard. But no, I don't think I shoot them that regularly.
Because I actually, you reminded me of one gun dream that I had where I was out camping, and it looked like the Tasmanian Devil. Actually, it didn't look like the Tasmanian Devil cartoon. It looked like the weird Tasmanian Devil cartoon thing from the Twilight Zone movie. If we all want to fire that into frame of reference, whatever it wasn't real, and it was very, very strange.
Was it the Jabberwocky?
It was some sort of Jabberwocky that was attacking my campsite, and I pulled out my 1911.
You pulled out your Vorpal blade?
Yes, and my 1911 went snicker snack. But the big thing was that I got a perfect sight picture. I had the gun lined up. I had utmost confidence in the gun, and I put my finger on the trigger, and I started pressing, and I started pressing, and I started pressing, and I might as well have been pressing. I might as well have been pressing against a granite block. That trigger was not moving. And what that what I figured out as soon as I woke up, it happened to be that the goddamn thing jumped up and grabbed onto my front sight just as the trigger broke and it just disappeared. And then I woke up. And when I woke up, I realized, oh, what was I doing just before I went to bed? I had taken my carry gun out of my holster, locked it up in the safe, and then grabbed my blue gun and started practicing my draws. And I had decided just on a whim, oh, well, I'm practicing going up, putting my thumb on the safety and lining up the sights. I'm going to practice bringing my finger down once the sights are on the target, bringing my finger down from the frame onto the trigger. Now, a blue gun's just a solid chunk of plastic. That trigger just looks like a trigger. It doesn't move. You could squeeze it all day long, and it's not going to budge. And that was the sensation I was feeling, as I was feeling the trigger of my blue gun, not the trigger of my real gun.
Ah. Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I've done some training with blue guns. I haven't had that dream, though. But actually, here's one thing I did think about. I kind of wanted to bring it up, because we talk about gun dreams, and all the common thing is you shoot, the bullets aren't effective, or you shoot, and you can't pull the trigger, the gun doesn't go off. But I kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, I have been involved in a firefight before, and the only the dreams that I had after that were interesting because I did not dream of anything going wrong with the gun. What I dreamed about was the aftermath. Because it doesn't stop.
Very interesting.
And I had the police show up, you know. They asked me questions. They let me go. I didn't get arrested or anything. They called it a good shoot from the very beginning. But, you know, that was what gave me all the nightmares.
What if they hadn't?
Right, exactly. Because, you know, luckily I live in a free state, unlike Jay. You know, but if Jay had to shoot somebody in Massachusetts, I don't know how the cops up there are going to be.
Well, in my town, they'd probably hand me a backup just in case.
Yeah, I mean, in Massachusetts, it's really a question of who responds and what's the issue. There have been people that have it just that is somebody came by, they did something bad, the person shot him, and the police went, good shoot, good job, carry on.
We'll call the fire department to hose your driveway down.
But other times you're going to jail. We're taking your guns, but that can lead to you hear about these stories. You hear about stories on both sides, right. And so that can lead to some anxiety. And when you have anxiety about something, that's where nightmares come from.
Especially if they've got Skittles.
Oh God.
God.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
But yeah, keep going on this, Daniels. I'm curious.
It's just that was the only nightmares I had, which was weird to me, and because I have some friends that have been in Iraq and elsewhere, and they have dreams about certain things going on. But for me, it was, you know, stressing out over the fact that, you know, oh my gosh, now this has happened. I've done what I have to do, but it seems in so many ways there's you know. I think a lot of gun owners don't quite grasp how much the system can be turned against you.
Yeah.
And Zimmerman's a good example of that. You know, and we don't know all the facts of that, but if we assume it's a good shoot, my God, you know, things can be turned against you so much. Yeah.
He's
you're
ruined.
Alive,
no matter how good that shoot is, he's ruined.
Oh, I know. But the thing is these are the kind of things that my mind sweats over.
Right, right.
And that gives me nightmares is not, okay, yeah, I'm confident in my abilities. I with proper awareness and planning, I'm confident I can overcome most situations. But, yeah, what happens next?
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's what happens when you have been there is you think of the next step.
Well, and I went through the next step, and the next step was, yeah, okay, fine, I got cut loose that night. Detective calls me later and wants to talk about things. Okay, well, we talk about things. You know, I basically tell him the same thing. I got lucky. I had a video. They had surveillance video, the whole thing.
Ah.
But, you know, if they hadn't, what then?
Well,
And yep. it turns out one of the videos wasn't recording. They only had the view from four cameras instead of eight. Huh. So, you know, what if something critical was missing?
Right.
You know, these are the things that I, you know, was sweating over. And then, of course, the other problem is the guy that I shot survived, albeit, you know, with, you know, a few extra ounces of lead in him, but he did survive. And it's one of those things, well, you know, even though, you know, this happened on the street, Texas at the time didn't have any type of stand your ground law at all, or castle or anything else. It was self-defense. But the thing is he could still sue.
Sure.
Right.
Back
right.
then he could. Now.
Yeah.
Now he could.
Back then he could.
Because, you know, he was just an innocent choir boy on his way to, you know, help out nuns and orphans. And for no reason.
I was having these dreams of, you know, process servers finding me in random places and I was being served and, you know, not having the money to hire a lawyer. And I don't know, maybe it seems mundane, but, you know, these are still nightmares.
Yeah.
Sure.
For some, you know.
Well, yeah.
Oh, come on. Everyone on the planet has had the nightmare where they showed up for a school exam and they hadn't studied. They didn't know what the exam was.
Hadn't been there all year.
Yeah, hadn't been to class all year. And yep. you're in your underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know where the room is to take the test.
Or it seemed to have gone away once I reached adulthood, but
right.
For whatever reason, as a child, I had frequent dreams where I'd be with my folks in the grocery store, completely buck ass naked, and trying to figure out, all right, I'm naked in the grocery store. This doesn't feel right, but for some strange reason, I am, and maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe I'd forgotten social context is. And all that, but it's a meaningless, stupid dream. But it's still a nightmare because for some, yep. there's stuff in the psyche. I mean, it's no matter how mundane it is, it's if you're concerned about it, if it raises your hackles, if it's a little bit of a stress, then you take it seriously.
I always yep. have nightmares about. Please don't bleed on the carpet.
You're going to shoot somebody, shoot them over the floor drain.
It's just, you know, it's like, oh, damn it. Yeah, I'm going to
shoot them over the outdated linoleum.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I've been looking for an excuse to rip that shit up.
It's peeling in yellow. Go into the kitchen.
It's a concern. Oh. Come on. It's a concern of mine.
Damn it. That color's going to clash with the cat puke.
What a hassle.
There's tile in the foyer. Go stand over there.
Yep. So
if you can move just a little bit closer to the bathroom, perfect.
Yeah, that'd be great. Get in the shower. Yeah. Anyway.
So the other topic was douchebaggery.
Does Daniels have
anything to say about the douchebaggery?
It's the internet. What do you expect?
Yeah,
it attracts douchebags. It does.
It does. However, the problem is that these douchebags get on the internet and then they have some money and they start these classes and people idolize them and take
fanboys and the followings are a problem. Then we got to go untrain. That's the bigger problem, I think, is you know, myth busting or oh, is that yeah. word copyrighted now? Can we say myth busting anymore?
Yes.
No,
seriously. You can.
Oh, okay. Well, but
nobody listens
to
this show. Say whatever you want.
All right. Well, but, you know, all of a sudden the 1911 compact is not good enough for a self-defense course anymore. Really?
That's one of my big pet peeves in the gun world is there's a lot of bullshit out there that passes as expert opinion. And there's almost no, you know, objective statistical evidence of any of this crap that people are spouting.
And anybody who's ever worked at a gun store like I have knows how much you have to weed through that every time you get customers. Every guy that walks in the door, you have to untrain every single one of them and go, look, just forget what you read on the internet.
Yeah.
step away from the ARFCOM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get away from the keyboard. Hey, listen, get to a range.
I got to run.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye. All right, guys.
That was a good call.
That was good.
Actually, that was the to go on that too is the. Yeah, not every data point is equal either. I remember reading on Xavier Thoughts back when he used to blog. Is he got approached by somebody at the gun range when he was shooting a 1911, and the guy said, "Oh, is that one of them 1911 guns?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I used to have one of those, and it just didn't run." He says, "Oh, what'd you do with it?" He goes, "Oh, I sold it." He goes, "Oh, who'd you sell it to?" Found out the shop that he sold it to. And he went there the next day and said, "Oh, this guy said that he had a 1911 that he never ran and all that." He says, "You know, do you have it?" He goes, "Yeah." And because it was on, the guy had said the exact same story to the pawn shop. He gave it to him for a good price. Realized it was just bone ass dry. The guy had never taken it apart, never did anything to it. It was just dirty and a mess, and it was just not gonna work. And so it's one of those things of the, you know, if you're driving your Mustang GT and you've decided to pull the air cleaner off so that you can get more horsepower, and you live on a dirt road,
yeah,
right,
and your dad happens to be also running a cement mixer fairly frequently while pouring cement dust into it while you idle the engine beside the cement mixer,
yeah.
Gee, your car may fail, and guess what? It ain't Ford's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's. I mean, we could have a whole nother show just on that crap, you know, just on the bullshit people believe that has no basis in reality.
We could devote several books and encyclopedia to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just on the whole caliber issue alone, really, you know,
Well, I mean, let's talk about training specifically. I mean, since we're talking about douchebags and training and whatnot,
I think you need to bring up your experience with the Texas Carry Forum.
Oh, that
which I think is the same thing as Brita says. The problem with these douchebags is that they get some money and they start classes. Right. I would say it's the exact other way around: is they start some classes and start earning money, and then they start talking ill against the stuff that doesn't.
Well, that's the big problem in Texas is the TSRA is pretty much captive by the what they call the CHL Mafia, which is a group of people that make a lot of money off of CHL. You know,
it's the same trainers.
Yeah,
Alan, look at the initials TSRA. It's the fucking TSA with retarded in the middle.
But you know, it's you know, and they have this, you know, this thing they like to trot out about open carry and how, you know, they're, oh well, you know, the TSRA isn't against open carry, we're just not in favor of it because our members have never expressed an interest in it.
Oh, bull crap.
You know, it's completely bogus. And then when somebody actually did introduce a bill last session in the Texas House, they lobbied against it heavily. So,
you know, you could just move to Oklahoma.
I know. I can. It's embarrassing. And I'm hoping that, you know, because of that.
Not that there's anything wrong with Oklahoma.
Of course not.
You know, it's
except I keep hearing dirty, rotten scoundrels.
Yeah, I think that that may be embarrassing enough that we might actually get something, but it'll be over the TSRA's dead body because they're not going to be in favor of it. Yeah, so anyway, I was on the forum, and it's the Concealed Carry Texas CHL forum, and it's run by a guy named Charles Cotton, who's a lawyer. He's one of the ambulance chasing kind of lawyers. You know, the civil suit. So
I'm John Edwards' lawyer.
Yeah. And
how many love children does he have?
Yeah. So anyway, he's real touchy on this whole open carry thing. And if you bring it up, he'll pretty much ban you, which is what happened to me. So,
wow.
I was shocked at that. You were not even like,
no, I wasn't even confrontational.
Argumentative. No. You were just bringing up a conversation and bam.
Yep. Permanently banned.
Yeah, like for life.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
You know, when I first heard that Texas was one of those no open carry states, I was shocked.
Well, you
and frankly
think about,
disappointed.
Yeah,
you, you always think about Texas is, you know, the Cowboys with the six shooters.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's like Texas. Open carry yeah. and Texas go together like peanut butter and chocolate, the, man. Right. Come on.
The problem is that after Reconstruction, they passed some very onerous anti-gun laws in the that were actually part of the Constitution. And, it, you know, obviously they were racist. They were intended to keep, you know, guns out of the hands of the freed slaves. And it was always, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We won't.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Until later on, oops, now it applies to everyone. So,
oh. Yeah, selective enforcement was
see
very,
how that works.
Big back then.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, and yeah, another one to point out, too, is Florida is often referred to as the gunshine state, and their laws are not quite as bad as Texas's, if I may say.
They are almost, yeah. well, they're. But, Florida and Texas have very similar laws in regards
to
open carry.
But they are very, very, very similar. Is that, you know, I would just say that, you know, Florida, again, no open carry.
Right.
Mandatory permitting.
Right.
Mandatory training, even though the training's not super duper extensive.
It's bullshit.
But I mean, all the training is bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's, I'm super duper against mandatory training because guess what? I took 2 years of French and a year of Japanese, and I can't speak a goddamn word of either one. You know right. why? Because I haven't done a goddamn thing with it since the finals.
And that's the problem. If you don't do it every day, you're going to forget it. And that's really the problem with training in general. I mean, people go to these training classes, and some of us like to call them, you know, fantasy camp for gunnies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because, you know, you go and you learn how to shoot a three gun, or you learn how, you know, a carbine class or something like that. And then you go back to your accounting job and, you know, you go to the range once or twice a month and shoot your pistol at a piece of paper, you know, and it's just a waste of time. You know, but, you know, more power to you. If you enjoy that kind of thing, then, you know, woohoo, but don't think you're going to be, you know, in a stack doing house clearing. Just
right.
You took a
carbine class. I remember reading something about, one of the, I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of those, you know, the instances where the SWAT teams dove in and took out all the terrorists and rescued the hostages and all that. And those
that was
guys,
Die Hard weird.
That was a movie.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Go
but
ahead.
In a lot of those instances, the guys trained for like a day beforehand. With, you know, somebody dug up the architectural blueprints of the building, and they had intelligence reports from outside of thereabouts of where the terrorists had been seen and where they suspect the hostages are being currently held and yada, yada, yada. And so they were practicing on the very, very specific mission that they were going to do live, you know, in a couple of days.
And a lot of times even that doesn't work because it winds up as a disaster.
And even then, it always goes pear-shaped.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we have more calls.
Yay!
Good. Excellent.
We have two stacked up. Let me take the first one. This is area code 361. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Mark.
Hello,
hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Up here we call it Mac. You know,
the talk radio blogger. I was law enforcement and security in Missouri, and Missouri had open carry before they ever had concealed carry. Because, you know, it's in St. Louis City and Kansas City that, you know, open carry was extremely frowned upon, but it was legal. When I moved down to, you know, when I left Missouri shortly after they got concealed carry, and moved down to Texas, I looked at all the various things, and I'm like, okay. And it was a little confusing to me because the difference between the state laws was enough that it was highly confusing, actually. But like I said, Missouri had open carry before, you know, Texas, before it had concealed carry and before Texas had concealed carry.
Yep.
Well, I think most places had open carry. It's just a question of when the laws came into effect. I mean, I know Maine never had any laws against carry until suddenly they did, and open carry has just never been addressed by the law. There's no laws about open carry in Maine. So therefore, if you can legally own a gun, you can legally carry it. No permits, no nothing required. They did change a law about carrying a gun concealed, and then and that's what you require a permit. And then meanwhile in Vermont, they just never bothered to put a gun law on the books. Every law that constrains the guns in Vermont is either federal law or hunting laws.
Hunting, yeah.
Like, you can't own a suppressor in Vermont because they don't want poachers jacking deer.
Right.
Has nothing to do... Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, it is silly, but it makes sense when you're regulating a sport.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense. It's just one of those stupid laws that some asshole thought up because it sounded good, but has no basis in reality, like most of the stupid fucking laws.
And it's based on Hollywood, because in Hollywood, suppressors make the gun absolutely whisper quiet. Whereas you put a suppressor on a 308, I don't care how big of a goddamn can you put on it, you're still going to get some noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
You're not going to turn a 308 into a whisper.
Your ears are going to stop ringing after a few seconds instead of after a few hours.
Go ahead, Mark. You had something to say.
Yeah. Well, unless, like you're saying on the 308, unless you run a subsonic ammunition, you know, you're still going to get the crack of the bullet.
Right.
And you're going to get a substantial amount of noise. All the suppressor does is it reduces the decibel level to a point where it's bearable instead of unbearable and, you know, damaging to your ears.
Right.
Right. Right. Whereas you see, you know, Hollywood, you put a suppressor on the end, even if it's a revolver, and the gun just goes, and that's it.
My understanding is the only revolver that can be truly silenced is a Nagant.
Yep. Because the cylinder comes forward to seal.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you guys get back to talking.
All right. Thanks, Mark. We got another call stacked up.
Yeah.
And let's see here. Oops. I clicked accept and it hung up.
You made it wait too long.
Yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah.
But all I was saying is when it comes to hunting, it's one of those things of you can't hunt on this day, but you can hunt the next day after, and then there's a certain day where suddenly you can't hunt there. There's a lot of arbitrary laws.
Well, a lot of those are game management rules.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that there's just a lot of rules,
right?
That say, like, I mean, you can't shoot within 200 feet of a paved road. So, are you saying that at 199 the world's going to suddenly explode if I touch off a round?
Right. Well,
they just decided to draw a line.
It's arbitrary. No, it's just like the shotgun length and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that shit needs to go.
Somebody's. Background.
Somebody's got the TV on in the background.
Yeah.
No, somebody has us on in the background.
Yep.
What is that?
It's not
me. It's not me.
I think it is you.
Is it me?
The call is coming from inside the house.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, back to the video.
Yeah. Somebody brought up that there are a lot of opinions going on on the internet that really are not based in fact.
No,
I know. Oh my God, someone's wrong on the internet. No,
wait, I thought I could enlarge my penis today.
No, tomorrow. I guess Weird kind of wanted to make my blog post the blog post of the week, I guess. I'm blogging. Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah. I saw this thing on Say Uncle, and it really cheesed me off. It really made me mad. The whole open carry. No one should open carry because it's just dangerous and it doesn't prove any point, and it hurts you politically, and that's bullshit. Because, you know what, there are multitudes of examples of the complete opposite.
Sure.
Yeah, I can actually give a great example. Was my father read about Oklahoma trying to push forward with open carry. And he went, can you believe these guys in Oklahoma, they're going to make it legal for people to carry around guns openly? And I said, like in Maine?
Like in your state, Dad?
Like in 44 yeah. other states?
Yeah. Yeah. But specifically in the state that he's lived in all his goddamn life. and what my father's response was, well, I've never seen anybody open carrying.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe I gotta say that it's not a great reason, but it's a reason. It's a statement. Is that you know, I'm always armed. But I can still carry because I don't want to deal with the horrible repercussions that is legally open carrying in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Sure.
So, but the bottom line is that like I've said, I've had people malign gun owners or people that carry guns right to my face where I've got a goddamn 1911 under my shirt.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they have no earthly idea that I am carrying a gun there, right now, right in front of them. I would still say that I don't know if I would, even if open carry was 100% legal, maybe if it was 100% legal and I wouldn't be the only kid in the room open mm-hmm. carrying, I might feel a little better, but I want to be an ambassador to gun rights on my own terms, sure. rather than have somebody come up to me in the, you know, in the checkout line at the grocery store and tap me on the shoulder and shit. Now I've got to be an ambassador.
Right.
I really just wanted to buy my veggies and go home.
Here's the thing. Your father said that he has never seen anyone open carry. It does not mean, however, that there has not been anyone open carrying around him.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he might not have just noticed, which is not really uncommon.
People are very inobservant. They really are.
Yep.
Or how come it's okay for a cop?
You know what? I think that all the time.
You know, when you realize that concealed carry permit holders commit crimes at a lesser rate than police officers.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty much going to hold about the same for open carriers.
And if open carry is so horrible and wrong, then mm-hmm. how come the police do it?
Right. Well, because there is that police are trained.
No, they're not.
They are. I know that. Yeah. But there is this kind of mythology that police are highly trained professionals, and they are the only ones. Professional enough and trained enough to carry a gun in public.
Yep.
Yeah, we all know that's not true.
But it's one of those things that everybody knows. Like, everybody knows suppressors make guns whisper quiet.
Yep.
Right.
Everybody knows a shotgun will blow somebody through a window. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Also, everybody knows that
the plane down.
Yep, and that suppressors are also that are used by assassins.
Right. Right, yeah, because a subsonic 9mm is the best friggin' round to use to kill someone quickly.
Well, and also, like, there's so many fucking examples of hitmen using suppressors to kill people. I mean, it just doesn't exist.
Right.
It exists in Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
It exists only in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Just like bringing down a commercial airliner with a 50 BMG. It's never fucking happened ever in the history of 50 BMG.
Right.
You know, I mean, even the fact that, you know, even anti-air, I mean, we used to shoot an aircraft with 50 BMG and it was, you know, double or quadruple mounted M2 machine gun.
It's right. still belt usually fed, missed.
Belt-fed machine
and still
gun.
It's still usually missed and still usually those planes soaked up a shitload of lead before they did anything. So generally rule that the small anti-aircraft guns are up to 20 millimeter now with explosive shells. Because 50 BMG didn't have the balls.
There was an instance in World War II where a B-52 was brought down by machine gun fire.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't.
There was enough lead.
No, there wasn't.
No.
Because there wasn't any B-52s in World War II.
No. What the hell is what I'm talking about?
B-1.
you have the B-2. No.
It would have been
right.
a B-17 or a B-24.
Thank you. The big one. But yeah, you're right. But yeah, it was actually weighted down so much by the weight of the bullets in the plane that it had to actually land.
Wow.
One of my favorite stories.
So anyway, back to that video.
Too heavy to fly.
You know, Alan, I got to say, you have no grace as far as getting back to topic. I try to get back to topic, like try to like, you know, ease people back into the topic. And you're just like, fuck it. Let's go back to topic.
Easing does not work with this crew. You ought to know.
Okay.
You have to.
Alan's a pretty girl.
You have to get out the 2x4.
Okay.
The clue by four.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had this video this week of what's his face? Rob Pincus and James Yeager claiming that open carry people are hurting the gun movement and hurting the Second Amendment, and really it's unnecessary. And it really made me upset because I have open carried a number of times and have never had a problem. The only problem I've really had is I was in Walmart and one of the women working there came up to me and said, "Could you cover it up? We don't let guns in here." And I said, you know, I covered it up because I didn't want to cause a problem, but she was wrong. And Walmart policy is to go by the local laws, I believe.
Yep.
But I didn't want to cause a problem. She was ignorant of the laws, and I didn't want to, you know.
Somebody was wrong in Walmart. Inconceivable.
Yeah.
And when you're open carrying, that is never the appropriate time to have a fuck off chamber.
Nope. Yep. You know, it's.
Can you please not carry in this Walmart? Yeah. Fuck off!
Shall not be infringed.
Yeah.
Right.
Now you have a problem in Pittsburgh with not being allowed in the tilted prostitute.
Well, you still have the thing. Okay, here's the thing. That was
my sink. Sorry.
Oh, okay. You have the problem in you know, when you're carrying, open or otherwise. In virtually every state, if you're on someone's private property, which includes Walmart, and an employee of the store says, you know, you can't do that here, then that's not the time to stand on your constitutional rights because it's private property.
Yep.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Because in the end, whether they're right or wrong, they can always ask you to leave.
Right.
Yep. At that point in time, if you say fuck off, then every state in the union, they can call the cops.
That's right.
And the cops have 100% legal standing, no matter what you're doing. Because guess what? They said your money's not welcome here, and they're not interested in doing business with you. They have every right to do it.
Once they tell you to leave, you're actually trespassing at that point.
Yeah.
So,
unless you happen to be, you know, black or gay or Latino or something like that, and you say, "Fuck off, we don't want you here."
Yeah.
Then actually you do have some legal standing.
Here's the thing that gets me about people complaining about open carry is it's entirely baseless. You know, open carry is legal in 44 states, in one form or another. And, you know, you hear one or two anecdotes of a problem, you know,
hell, you hear mostly made up anecdotes,
right?
Like the cop's not going to know who the bad guy is and is going to shoot you
because
you have a gun.
You know, if that was a thing, it would be happening. It doesn't happen.
It never happened.
The cops have never mistaken, got somebody open carrying just walking down the street for a bad guy that needed to be shot. You know, criminals have never targeted somebody just because they were open carrying. You know, nobody has ever held up a store or a bank or a liquor store and, you know, shot somebody just because they happened to be there and were open carrying. I mean,
you know, they're going to run up and
shoot you and get your gun.
Yeah.
The whole,
well, if they're going to shoot me, they've already got a gun. What do they need mine for?
The whole thing where somebody is like, oh, if you're open carrying, someone's going to grab your gun and use it against you. Really? I have never heard about that except for police.
Yeah.
Now, police.
Yeah, you can't compare cops.
In close physical contact with people who are prone to that sort of behavior.
Yeah. And who don't want to go to jail.
Who don't want to go to jail.
And a lot of times.
Are prone to, like, you know, impulse control problems, generally.
Here's the vacuum again.
Yeah. So
it's Brita's fan on her computer.
I'm really sorry.
No, it's
I'm
okay. Don't worry about it.
I like it.
Hot in here. I don't know. Why is my computer doing that?
Because it's overheating.
Because it's horny.
It's Brita's computer.
I don't know what to do about it.
But yeah, no, it's that's fine. I mean that's one of those things of the I don't carry a less lethal option. It's just it's not something I'm going to bother with. I have limited pocket space as is.
Right.
I'm not going to bother throwing a can of Tabasco sauce into my fucking pocket because honestly speaking, I see pepper spray and I see, and again, this is my opinion. If you can carry some with you, there are times when it's useful, but overall, I find those times to be so limited. Overall, it is a tool for law enforcement because my philosophy is if I see trouble, I am going to walk away from it.
Right.
Walk. Bingo. Not run, because if I have to run away from a problem, then it becomes a foot race and I'm not a fast runner. If I cannot walk away from the problem, I am standing my fucking ground. Because as far as I'm concerned, my duty to retreat happens long before any sort of justifiable lethal force happens, and I'll take my goddamn chances in the court because I'd rather be in jail than dead.
Yep.
We've just been called douchebags.
Yeah, because you're not taking the douchebag topic.
By Mr. I won't call in because I'm a girl.
But the my statement is with cops is if I call and say there's a bunch of fucking drunk guys hanging out on my sidewalk in front of my house, I told them to take a hike. They told me to piss up a rope, so now I'm calling you guys.
Mm-hmm.
The cops have to come.
Right.
Have to come. Well, they don't have to come, but it's part of it. It's a mess if they don't. They have to show up, and they have to and they have to do their goddamn jobs. And their job is to deal with these people. They can't pull up to the car, step out of the car, say, "Hey, they told you to pull off." The guy says, "Hey, you know, step off, piggy." And so the cop pulls out his gun and shoots all of them. He can't do that. Cops need a wide range.
No matter how much we want them to.
Yeah, they need a wide range of tools in their toolbox. If someone's walking through the middle of the street saying, "Oh, kill me, the aliens are landing, oh, da, 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 da," I'm walking away, I'm driving away. It's not my fucking job. It's not my fucking problem. The most I will do is I will call cops and give them coordinates of where to pick up the freak show. Right. But unless my life is immediately being threatened and I cannot safely leave that area, I'm not doing a goddamn thing because it's not my job and it's more trouble than it's worth.
Well, not only that, you can't.
I had this interesting conversation right before the show. Actually, Mike and I were watching James Yeager videos before the show. And
I watched those videos too. I really like the ones where he has a lady eat him out.
I didn't see that one.
That's a different guy, weird.
I like the ones where
James Yeager. It's
Chuck Yeager.
The gun guy. Tactical what?
Tactical.
But he has a vagina, right?
What? Yeah, probably. Anyway, we're watching these videos, and here's the thing. There's this kind of like training mentality that kind of – how do we put this? They kind of try to put normal people in kind of that mindset that they are the police, that there's this warrior mindset.
Warrior.
And whoa. Yeah, right?
You have to have the exclamation points.
Right. I'm going to put the link to the Ranger school because it's just too funny. I'm sorry. It's really funny. But there's this thing where they try to make people like, raw. I'm like this warrior, you know, raw. And they don't – it's you're just like some – like. Geeky IT guy who takes classes a couple times a year. Yep. You're not like the police.
Fantasy camp.
You should walk away. Okay. That whole thing bothers me. For instance, I don't know. It just, the whole thing has me just annoyed.
Yeah. I remember reading a blog ages ago. This was years and years and years ago. This was back. I read it back when I was on LiveJournal.
Ever. No, he's so crazy.
Someone was talking about they went to a core.
So like last year?
Yes. Ooh.
Rita.
Oh, burn.
It, you stung me,
It was PDB, wasn't it?
Someone was talking about they attended some sort of tactical course, and they were pointing out the fact that the course had a shoot house set up, and they gave the scenario was, oh, your wife and kids are inside the house, or some people are inside the house, and there's 15 terrorists inside, and you go... You need to go in. You need to shoot all 15 terrorists, but not shoot your wife and three kids.
This is realistic.
And all that. And the guy said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to have them come because I'm not going in there alone. They're going to fuck me.
Right.
And the guy said, no, there's no time. You can't call the cops. Really? There's no time for me to call the cops?
I'm calling the cops.
And all that. And the whole blog post was just about the back and forth between him and the trainer about the fact that, all right, my suspension of disbelief has just been knocked off the hook.
Right.
So it's along with the, you know, you need to put 2,500 rounds through your firearm in a weekend before you can use it for carry.
Right.
Well, exactly. If I need to fire 2,500 rounds, I want a belt-fed machine gun. All right, plain and simple.
Right. Again, that's another thing that just drives me crazy. This whole, oh, if you haven't had your gun break or fail, you're not shooting enough. Okay, so the point of being a gun owner is to shoot your gun enough to break it? What? I'm like not grokking this. I'm sorry.
Well, I got to say, I have broken several of my guns.
Yes, you have. I was there for it.
Yeah, Chase, you need break us.
Oh, we have a caller. We have a caller. Actually, we have two callers. I think one of them is Miguel.
Oh, it's Miguel.
Hello, area code 305.
Jesus, about freaking time you answered the phone.
Who is it?
I called you guys already. You heard my TV. You heard me yawning. You heard me saying hello. And you kept on going because you wanted to talk about open carry.
Is this Miguel?
Yes, ma'am. This is Miguel. How you doing?
I'm going to put this on my calendar, Miguel.
Shame into calling. Yay!
How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I want to say, Brita, these guys are a bunch of douchebags, okay?
I know. I'm stuck with them, though, really.
Excuse me. Pardon me. That is Mr. Douchebag. Thank you very much.
Not yet. You haven't reached that level yet. I love you guys.
Tootie douchebag.
Okay, you're junior douchebag still, you know, I'm getting there. But...
Junior douchebag, junior Chase grade.
Apprentice douchebag.
Well, at least first thing I got to say, this is a great show so far. No mice balls have been in use. I have been enjoying it 100%.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Are shut up. And we are shut up. Don't say anything. You know,
what's hilarious kind of is I'm going to hear this voice now every time I read your blog now.
Yeah, no, it's going to sound funky. Yeah, it does. Hey, back to the douchebags. I'm agreeing with Brita. If there's a lot of stuff that doesn't, it's got to do with the so-called warrior mentality. And actually, it's going to be counterproductive to regular people. You are not a freaking warrior. Most of us are just regular guys with jobs, and we need the good training to be civilians with a gun. That's it. I am not planning on jumping from a helicopter and rescue my kid because there's some zombie terrorists in my house. Bullshit. I'm not doing that crap.
No. Why would you?
Miguel, say douchebag again.
Say what?
Douchebag.
Douchebag.
There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys are making fun of my accent.
I love it so much.
And she's too polite to ask you to say it again. So, I, however, have no filter whatsoever.
Okay, wait, one. Acorn.
Thank you. Yes.
Did you hear that, Alan? Miguel's a ferner, and he said it right.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Miguel,
well, guys, there's a reason why I say like that. Is she's not here. Thank God. She's in bed. And she's sovereign. She's about 5 foot tall, and she will kill me if I say something that is not somewhat taller.
Awesome.
Acorn.
Hey.
If you want, Weird and I could both say ka or a lodge regular.
There you go.
Or we can go to the packy.
Yo, you friggin' retard, suck my fucking cack.
Yep, but actually Miguel made a great point is you know, all this training crap. I mean, really all you need, the only training you need is you know, how to make the gun work properly and yes. and how to draw it and fire it without harming somebody else in the process.
Yeah, the biggest part of the training thing that especially James Yeager is famous for this is the whole downrange drills.
Oh God!
I mean,
Oh, God. Okay.
I understand that he thinks that if you put somebody downrange and you're firing bullets in their general direction, that they'll get a sense of like how your adrenaline will make your body react.
No shit.
Hello. However. There's still this kind of, it's still not real. Yeah. It's still not a real situation. And on top of it, are you a freaking idiot?
Yeah. Yep.
Really?
On top of it,
background checked every single other person in that class. I wouldn't want some Joe Schmo who's taking the class with me. I don't know who he is. I'm sorry. I wouldn't want anybody.
Well,
even
yeah,
my
what if they've got a really
friend,
nasty swing?
I'm sorry. No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Jay's got the greatest point is that people joke about the fact that, you know, if your gun's never broken, you haven't shot it enough. Well, if you've never suddenly noticed that a flinch just shows up out of the fucking blue,
right.
you haven't shot enough. Is
right.
I'll be going to the range regularly. I'll be going to the range once a week, and I'll shoot really fucking well one day, and then suddenly one day I can't fucking hit water if I fell out of a boat. It's just, yeah. just everybody, even the greatest shooter on earth, has suddenly looked at a target and go, where the fuck did that shot come from?
I fired 8 shots. I can't believe I missed all of them.
Yeah.
You know, did somebody load my gun with blanks?
Yeah, unless you're one of these crazy professional shooters that, you know, goes through, you know, hundreds of rounds a day, thousands of rounds a day, whatever the hell these guys do. But, unless you're Jerry Michalik or Doug Koning or, whoever's the name of the day,
mm-hmm.
everyone has had a day where they just suddenly, you know, they
stopped.
Yeah, or they you shoot yeah. 8 rounds at the target. And you've got 7 holes in the, you know, in the 8 zone or better, and one that you just can't seem to find.
Yeah,
maybe you put it through the same hole. Maybe you jerked the living fuck out of that trigger and dropped it down to the dirt.
Yep.
In the case of James Yeager, maybe you jerked that trigger and put it between the eyes of the fucking cameraman. Congratulations.
Right.
You don't get that ability to put all the bullets through a hole because you don't shoot everything. They do. That's what they do for a living. Okay, but you don't need him. Anybody else, if we, the only thing we do is go to the range and teach a class or even shoot every day, we eventually, unless we're really, really, really bad, we're going to get better. We're going to shoot good. We're going to try to get better. Okay, but these guys are not selling self-defense. What they're selling is an image. Okay,
right.
Now, I'm going to make you, I'm going to give you an example. Okay, Jaeger, I forgot the other guy. Whatever, you know, they have the little image. I mean, the tight jerseys, the bullheaded, the goatee, the muscle, the tattoo, the tattoo.
Hey.
Yeah, shut up.
I love you, Miguel.
The little goatee. Oh, God damn, yeah. Oh, never mind. So we do have a goose right here. And look at the other trainers, the real good trainers. Look at Masaju. He looks like I commented that one. This one was. He looks like one of those in the old cartoons, the guy with the organ grinder, the monkey. But he looks like. Look at Pat Rogers. Pat Rogers looks like an Irish vampire. You're going to tell me that either one of them is less of an entertainer than Jaeger and Pincus? No, bullshit. They're much better. They got much better brains. They got much better experience. But they are not into the image because they know the image is bullshit. You need to know, learn how to shoot, how to shoot, and how to, and if possible, avoid the whole problem from the get-go. So these guys, like I said, they're enamored of the warrior crap. And warrior crap, for you and me and everybody else, is going to get us in trouble in court.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yes,
like you, the trouble that you have with a bad guy doesn't stop when you pull the trigger.
Right, that's what Daniels was saying.
A year later, if hopefully the DA or grand jury says, hey, the shooting was good, you can go on with your life. So you, no aggression, no bullshit. You are only, you're trying to avoid the trouble. You use the gun when you need to use it. If you have the last recourse, and then try to survive what the shit storm is coming afterwards. The rest is plain and simple bullshit. I'm sorry for my language. I'm sorry.
we encourage that language like here.
Yeah.
The other thing too is with the people being downrange and shooting, they're saying it's supposed to be more realistic. The biggest problem is, at the end of the day, you're not shooting another human being when you're at one of those training courses.
Hopefully.
And there is no training you can do that is going to accurately simulate that. And there is no way to know for sure if you can do that until you absolutely have to be in that position. And all
that's
of the
we are the Squirrel Reporter offering the most dangerous game hunting we will take homeless veterans and let them loose in the woods, and you will track them down and kill them.
Yep.
Oh, if I knew this, that's why I would invite you all guys to come over this weekend to Miami Beach. We have an urban weekend.
Woohoo!
All the rappers in the world are going to be down in Miami Beach. We are not going there. The hell no. But seriously, he's right. I mean, you cannot. The only thing you can do is train and hope that in case you need it, that training kicks in and you survive. That's it. Okay? That's another one. If somebody mentioned Arkham earlier, and I love I'm not a member, but I read it from time to time and some stuff. And it's funny because you see these guys talking about, the rifle that they have ready for home defense and the plate carrier and whatever. And I'm thinking, it's going to take you about 15 minutes to put all the crap. So now all the freaking devices. By this time, this guy's going to get you bent over the sofa and it's pumping you.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no freaking way that you're going to pull out. If you're lucky, you're going to grab that gun and try to defend yourself when you're in your pajamas. Unless your pajamas got moldy. And you gotta at least you go to sleep with 700 magazines in a
trauma plate.
Oh God!
And a 338 trauma plate duct taped to your back.
Best call of the night.
God, totally.
But most of these guys are also in the weight category of seismic shifts when they get out of bed. But that's another
right. Another thing I wanted to bring up is that a lot of this training focuses on, and they talk about it a lot, of muscle memory and, you'll train yourself into being able to shoot, that sort of thing, if you need to. But I don't think like one weekend a month or one weekend a year is going to be able to instill that sort of...
Nope.
Absolutely feeling, you know what I mean? You have to have that kind of, I don't know. You have to be that kind of person that'll step up and do it. You know, you hear, Gina Somm, she shot a mass murderer in a church in Colorado. And she was not the only person there with a gun. There were a number of other people there armed and with the shooter in sight. One of them was a Vietnam veteran, and he was not able to pull the trigger. But she was. She was the one who said, okay, I'm going to step up and do it. And I don't think training only goes so far, you know, as far as this warrior concept of, do you know what I mean? It's like, you can go through the drills and you can run through as much ammo as you want, but, you know, when it comes down to it, are you going to be able to pull the trigger? And I don't think, you know, you can spend your money and have fun at these training courses, but I don't think it's going to put it in you the ability to actually be able to do it.
Well, that's what I say we're a lot action shooting sports, anyone. Because if you put repetition, it gives you practice times, not training, but practice time. I am an EDPA fanboy. I haven't spent 2 months, but I know I will draw just because I'm used to. I mean, I've been conditioned now that I hear that the little beep on my head if I see trouble and my hand goes to the gun. But that is the practice we need. I mean, you cannot do just any kind. Okay. I will always say that I don't give a damn if you've taken 5 classes that year with all the super trainers. But if you don't practice regularly, you're not going anywhere. All right. Right. If I have to face the situation, I will take a guy who's just ipsy. I will take a guy with me that shoots a UPA. And even a cowboy. Okay, trust me, you've seen the cowboy guys reloading a shotgun?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of pump that fast. Okay, so it's a practice. I mean, if you do that, I mean, get into action shooting sport of your choice, whatever you like, and do it. And that's it. That's the only thing that's going to help you, and, you know, and be aware of it. But, you know, being this macho guy that only works with the 5'11". Jock straps
Oh, thank you so much for calling in, Miguel.
Thanks, Miguel.
Okay, guys, you have a great night, everybody. Right. Keep on listening.
All right, thank you,
Miguel.
Bye.
Yeah,
Miguel. There's only one thing with that.
One at a time. Sorry, please. Jeez,
I'm waiting for that.
And we got a call.
Woohoo, Nancy!
It's Nancy.
Yes. Yay!
Nancy, I was so looking forward to you calling in because we have, is it next weekend?
Next weekend.
Is it? It is next weekend. We are going to collectively piss off James Yeager and Rob Pincus.
Yay.
did you say you ladies are going to collectively pee on James Yeager and Rob Pincus?
Yeah, but I hear he's into that.
Yeah.
Yes. You can join in too.
I'll pee on him.
Next weekend, we are having a open carry weekend. And Nancy and I
kind of... Unofficial open carry.
Official. Yeah, it's just us. Bloggers who want to participate. And if it's legal in your area.
Oh, sorry, please. Alan.
Sorry, Alan. You can do it in your apartment. Nancy was kind of the instigator for this, that we kind of do it on our... Nancy and I have the same kind of birthday week.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, I'm a whole lot older.
Oh!
I'm older than Alan.
No way. Nobody's older than Alan.
I don't think you are.
No one's older than Alan. By mere weeks, right?
Yeah. If months, that. Weeks.
But, yeah, so we're going to have an open carry. What are we supposed to open carry all weekend long? Because
For some people, they open carry all the time. It's no big deal, and they roll their eyes at the thought of it. For some people, they're just getting used to the idea. We did it on, what, Sunday last year?
Mm-hmm.
And some people couldn't do it on Sunday. So pick a day, pick an hour.
Yeah.
I went for an open carry motorcycle ride.
With or without the kilt?
Without the kilt. This was pre-kilt.
I would be duct taping the kilt to his thighs.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, you said duct tape.
You got to make weird excited now.
I went to the grocery store. I didn't have a problem. I don't know.
I've never had a problem. Watch me jinx myself. You know what? Maybe next weekend, just so I can say I did it, I will drive down to Richmond and go to Trader Joe's in OC.
Ooh,
no, nice. Not Trader Joe's.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list.
Open carry at Trader Joe's?
No.
Yeah.
And Nancy, are you still open carrying in the shoulder rig?
Well, it's the only one I've got.
Yeah.
That would be a yes, weird.
Yeah. Because that's one of those things. It's one thing to have a holster clipped to your belt. It's another thing to have a whole pair of leather straps crossing your back.
Well, I've got long hair. It kind of covers it.
I was going to say, Nancy, I don't think they get their eyes up that high to actually see the red. Because she's like 7 feet tall.
Well, was it a week or two ago? I was in Walmart, and it was very strange. This woman just started babbling about this azalea in the front of my cart. And I realized that with the shoulder rig, the pistol's sort of the same level as another part of my anatomy, as was this azalea. And she was probably staring at my left boob or the gun. And she caught me looking, and she probably thought she had to say something. So let's just talk about the azalea.
Boobs are a good distraction.
Nancy's got a great pair of azaleas.
I don't really give a shit about azaleas. I'll talk about boobs, though.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out, yeah. But yeah, she's, oh, that's a gorgeous azalea. What? Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was over in the garden department. Whatever. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
But the point of the open carry weekend is that a lot of people can go out and open carry and blog about it, and it happened last year, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
It was
I'm gonna open carry my officer's 1911. Just ooh, to doubly piss off Rob Pincus.
Nice.
Dr. Mike's got one of his cowboy guns. He's hoping to be able to OC by then.
Very nice.
Ooh, I can see that. Totally see that.
Yeah, he'll be up here next weekend, so I'll get pictures.
Oh, cool.
Helping with the kids shoot, but that's another whole topic for another time.
I like the kids shoot.
I do too.
Do you let them run first, or do you tie them down before you shoot them?
How do you shoot
women? We give them sugar, then tie them down, and they vibrate.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I've never done this before. I don't like kids. I mean, I like love my kid, but I'm not one of those people who's, I just love kids. So I'm not exactly sure how this happened.
It tastes just like chicken. No, wait.
It'll be interesting anyway.
It will be.
It will.
It'll definitely be blog worthy, that's for sure.
I'm hoping for lots of pictures. Hint, hint.
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
That is funny.
The interesting thing is, I did have two moms that say that they want to learn how to shoot just as a result of me bringing this up.
So. Oh, cool. Oh,
good.
Yeah.
It's you like, know, BB guns in the backyard is like the traditional learning how to shoot thing. I mean, we've kind of gotten away from that in this country, but
not here. We haven't.
You know,
my parents wouldn't let me have a BB gun.
I mean, my daughter when she was a little younger, and the neighborhood boys they ran around all over the neighborhood with BB guns shooting stuff. You know, my car door, and you know,
yeah. it has transferred a little to airsoft.
Yeah, it really has. Well, it's cheaper. And,
you know, it's a lot cheaper.
And more fun.
My son's got 7 or 8 airsoft guns.
Does he stack them in a safe?
Yeah, pretty much like Tetris. They've all got little plastic trigger locks on them. It's really cute. I'll actually set up my .22 Steel in the backyard, and he'll go out there and you know, ping, ping, ping. It's really cute. Especially because he's got a full auto. So it's like, ding, ding, ding. I'll put the center fire steel out for that.
Oh, ping, 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 ping.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. We'll also set up cans and stuff.
Okay. Cool.
But anyway, getting away from it, it may not be so much BB guns, but they're still something.
It's the same thing as far as I'm concerned. They're little plastic BBs.
You're still going to put your eye out.
That's right. And we're about out of time.
Yeah, we are. Good Thanks. Show, everybody.
And we got Nancy and Miguel.
I know.
Holy smokes, a great show.
Yep.
Miguel's gonna
I'm a little disappointed we didn't rip on James Yeager as much as I wanted to.
We can do that
again.
He has
a vagina.
We can
do
always,
that after
bring that up again.
Do it after open carry weekend.
That's a good idea. Talk there about you go. Open carry weekend. And
where nothing will happen.
Right.
My big concern with open carry is what outfit do I wear? Like, do I wear jeans or what sort of shirt?
I wore a dress last year. I wore a dress and took it out of heels.
A dress would be cute. I don't have a shoulder rig, but that would be cute. I would do that. But
darling purple holster.
I do. I have a really nice holster. I'm trying to figure out if I can open carry the LCP this year. But
would anybody notice?
Would anybody even really notice? Because it's so little.
I want to get one of the belt buckle holsters from a North American Arms Mini 22.
Oh no!
And just open carry it for to see if anybody notices.
Yeah. Although the LCP on me is kind of it looks kind of like a regular size gun on me.
It looks like a 1911 on Weird.
Yeah, it's.
It looks like a Desert Eagle on Matt G.
Yes, just like that. I have pictures to prove it. Actually, yeah.
Open carry with a bra holster, a flashbang.
Yeah, nope. There you go.
Not happening.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks for calling in, those of you that called in. And we will be back next Friday.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yep. Actually, I'm kind of thinking about moving the day, but that's a different.
Yeah, we can cover figure that out.
Thursday?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about moving it to a different day.
Thursday.
Well, because a lot of people are doing stuff Friday, and we originally moved Vicious Circle to Friday because it went on forever and nobody wanted to get up Friday morning after a Vicious Circle night. but we usually wrap this one up pretty quick. In fact, this is the first time.
It's only 2 hours.
This is the first time we've actually gone over. So,
blame me.
I think we can move it. What I want to think about doing is moving it to a different day and then maybe doing it a little earlier in the evening. Because it runs kind of late for the people on the East Coast.
It does.
So anyway, just something to think about. If you have a strong opinion one way or another, let me know. Or let Brita know.
Let Brita know.
Yeah. We could do it at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon from work. Hold on. Well, I got to take this call. Hold on.
All right. Well, have a good Memorial Day weekend, y'all. Remember the people that gave their lives for the country, and don't get food poisoning.
Thanks, Alan.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night. Good night.
Bye.
Have a good week, everybody.
Y'all. And we're not broadcasting anymore.
Okay. So mental note, only do the show from the room with the router in it.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Please.
And Jay, there's a little...